Case number 722-277.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said you called.
Yeah, you're right.
277.
Bridgeport?
Yeah.
Bridgeport?
Yeah, you're the right place.
You live in Bridgeport? You do live in Bridgeport? Sergeant, can you please identify yourself and your witness again for the record?
Sergeant Michael Segrist, Bridgeport Police Department, S-I-G-R-I-S-T.
And Nicole Lozada, L-O-Z-A-D-A, Type S1 in the Pistol Permit Division.
Thank you both. Sergeant, would you like to make an opening statement?
The appellant was originally denied, showed a J state prohibitor for the arrest on 5-19-2011, legal possession and the conviction in Connecticut. In Connecticut, the misdemeanor handgun disqualifier. And also, the applicant had a conviction on 6-16-2011 for interfering with resisting. On 9-15-2011, the appellant pled guilty on the signed notarized DPS 799-C. The appellant checked that he had never been convicted of any crimes in any jurisdiction. So the appellant failed to disclose these convictions.
So we're here on the failure to disclose, because it would appear the misdemeanor disqualifier no longer applies,
correct.
I think.
Correct.
2011 conviction. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes.
Please speak up so we can hear you.
Yes, I did misunderstand the question. Check no. That's pretty much it.
Okay. You're going to have to speak up.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
I
don't really think that, and I can barely hear you, so I'm guessing. All right, Sergeant, you may proceed.
Yes, so our denial now is based on the failure to disclose.
You do know you have to tell us more after the last one, right? So while you go through what the application said.
Okay. An application where it states, have you ever been, quote, convicted under the laws of the state, federal law, or the laws of another jurisdiction? Do you have a box for no and one for yes, and it was clearly checked off for no.
And what convictions does he have?
Yeah.
To make that untrue.
So the misdemeanor for the obviously the illegal possession 519 of 2011 is no longer a disqualifier. So it would just be the interfering and resisting conviction, which was the arrest date was 6-16-2011, and he pled guilty 9-15 of 2011.
But he also pled guilty to the 21A27.
He did, and okay. At the time when he applied, he
yep.
failed to disclose that conviction, which since then has come off of the record because of the due to the age of the
correct.
Yes,
but he would still have to disclose that because it's still a conviction.
Yes.
And he
well, now,
not
well,
today.
Today, he
applied now, like right now, he would not have to disclose it. But when he applied, it was
okay.
still on his record
gotcha.
With the J State prohibitor.
But it was still at the time, he was required. To,
yes, at the time he
right.
applied, he would have been required to disclose the conviction.
Was an arrest warrant applied for the false statement on the application?
No.
The denial letter doesn't mention the interference.
That would be prior to us. That was Sergeant Taylor, so I will think you can. That was prior to us and being in the division. So this would have been the sergeant before us. I think because it came back with the misdemeanor handgun disqualifier, she just used that as because she had in her notes like the convictions and failure to disclose, but I think because it was a marijuana disqualifier, she just went with that.
Just for the future, it's always better to put it all in there.
Okay.
Because you never know what's going to be available at the time of hearing.
Okay. Sir, do you have any questions for the issuing authority representatives?
No, I'm kind of confused here.
Well, we'll get to that, but do you have any questions for them based on what they just said?
No.
Okay. Does the board have any questions?
I'll say the same thing.
Okay.
Do you have any information, or do you want to share any information about the nature and circumstances around the arrest for interfering? That would bear on suitability, or is the only issue we're talking about is it was not disclosed on the form?
I'd say the major one is just non-disclosure.
Well, is the major one, or is it the only one? In other words, had he disclosed it, would you have issued?
I believe so.
Why? Not by the basis of the letter, because at that time it was an automatic disqualifier.
Yeah, at that time it was an automatic disqualifier, so I would think that...
Right. Clearly, we get that. Now we're talking about the interfering at this point.
Yes, I think it wouldn't... The circumstances of the interfering, it was more of the fact the failure to disclose and be truthful about having the prior convictions.
Okay, and so it was denied for being untruthful. What's the remedy? How long would that...
Well, it was originally denied for the misdemeanor.
I got it.
Yeah, and then
but today we're sitting here with failure to disclose the interfering, right?
Yes.
Because clearly the other one, I get it. He didn't disclose it. He should have back then. But today we're talking about the interfering. And I just don't know how serious that interfering was from 2011. And would the circumstances of that cause Bridgeport to deny the permit, or is it solely based on the fact that he didn't tell you about it?
I think at the time, the fact that he failed to disclose the possession that was still on his record, mm-hmm. and he failed to disclose the interfering, is what attested to the suitability. So it was more just the truthfulness. So I think they would have upheld the denial, right? Just on the failure to be truthful. Because it was two charges. When he originally applied to us, he failed to disclose two charges.
Well, clearly, when he first applied, he couldn't issue it anyway.
Yeah.
Even if he wanted to. So we have to decide how long does that apply, I guess.
Yes.
Basically someone failed to disclose.
So I would guess if he reapplied and told the truth, would the issuing authority issue?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions by the board? I am assuming no other witnesses?
No.
Okay. I know you said you were confused. Wherever you want to start, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
The conviction as far as the possession, it turned into an infraction. I paid a fine for the marijuana, and for one, it wasn't even mine anyway to begin with.
First of all, I got to stop you for a minute. It didn't turn into an infraction. Infraction means it's different than it was.
I only paid the fine.
Understand, but the charge was a misdemeanor. It's still.
I wasn't aware of that.
I understand you may not understand.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm saying back then I wasn't aware of that.
Clear.
So pretty much the point of me filing now and not then when that happened is because I got caught up into something that basically had nothing to do with it. That whole situation with the possession, that they came to my house with a warrant for someone else that wasn't there, and they took me for a crumb. It was literally a crumb of marijuana, and I had to go to work in an hour. And they arrested me for that. And I'm like, are you really going to arrest me for that? And I guess their reason was because what they came for was a lie. So someone lied saying it was dope in the house and all of that. And they had a warrant for a specific name that had nothing to do with it. So that's how I got the possession charge. And I paid the fine. And then a month later, as you see the interfering, that was a motor vehicle which had nothing to do with. Well, I don't see where it had anything to do with the gun, but the car insurance took care of that case. So it's like, and I was just so disgusted with the whole situation. I pretty much didn't appeal for my weapon because I was just mad at the situation. And in the meantime, you can see I had no police contact during anything. I worked for the city, and I just, what actually motivated me to reapply for my permit is I gave my brother a gift for Christmas, which is two Christmases ago, and he returned the gift by giving me a card saying he'll pay for me to take my class over. So that's what motivated me to say, you know what, let me get something that I, you know, feel I deserve for me, which is a my gun permit. And that's it. So I didn't really have the knowledge of me being convicted, like having like a misdemeanor on my record, because I paid the fine. And like I said, the other situation, the interfering, my car insurance took care of that. So I didn't even know that was even on my record.
Did you have a pistol?
It wasn't a criminal. It wasn't, I mean, I didn't do it. My car insurance took care of it. And they threw it out.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, that's
can I just try to, I know it's probably not.
The interfering was motor vehicle.
What is it? What was it though? What did you do?
I bumped into the back of somebody.
Okay. And then what interfering usually means the police were investigating something and you was, either lied or you fled.
Yeah, the
or
police
you,
felt that it wasn't me. And I'm telling them it wasn't.
Oh, they felt the, it was the, you were saying you were the driver and it was.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't think while I'm filling out the application to reapply that I'm convicted for anything. Being that how it was handled in court.
Well, somehow you were convicted, so you must have said you were guilty.
Well, now that it's coming back to me, I think my lawyer at the time for that, he said if I is pleading guilty under the Alford
Act. Yeah, no contest.
Yeah, so it was like, it's he was saying that I was guilty, but wasn't. I'm pleading guilty, but I'm not. I don't know. It was a long time ago, but I haven't been in any trouble since. I haven't been in any police contact since 2011. We're in 2023.
Were you the driver?
Yes.
It's a strange doctor. You've been sitting here under oath, knowing that you get trouble if it's not true?
I was the driver.
It usually happens when you're signing a trial. But you remember pleading guilty. Because you plead guilty under the Alford doctrine.
Yeah, but the way it was explained to me, he was saying you're pleading guilty, but you're not. It's somewhat, it was confusing.
You're pleading guilty, but you're not admitting. Did you get sued in this case by the guy that you hit? Did he sue you?
The insurance.
Yeah. So the Alford doctrine was saying you're not, they can't use your criminal conviction against you in your civil case.
Yeah, I
but you still have to, the judge went through all the questions, you plead guilty, you're giving up your right to trial.
Yeah, he said all of that.
And you have to say you're guilty.
But then the possession, he kind of put it together, and I'm like, well, what about my permit? But he's like, well, that's getting thrown out. It's like, I didn't even get a chance, I didn't even know that goes together. That's what I'm saying, that's a month later. The interfering, what does the interfering have to do with the possession?
I don't know. But,
I don't
but,
know.
Yeah, he put them together in court when I went.
But you had a permit at the time? In 2011?
Yeah, I had my permit. They took my permit when they came to the house. Because when they found
the marijuana.
Yeah, they found the marijuana.
Yep, got it.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm standing there in court like, you're saying no to that. Why? What does that have to do with this? And they just did it their own way, and I just was disgusted.
Just to tell you, the marijuana conviction makes you ineligible to have a permit at that time. So that's why your permit was taken.
Yeah, I respect that. I get that part, but.
What was the original charge for the marijuana arrest? You were convicted of
it was
the misdemeanor. Was
they gave me a possession charge.
I know, but was it a felony possession charge reduced to the misdemeanor? Or?
No, marijuana is not a felony.
It was
well, it can be if you had more than 4 ounces.
It was less than 4 ounces,
it was
Chief.
A speck. Yeah. It was a speck that they found.
No, I understand that's the conviction, but sometimes you can get arrested for a pound and then they knock the conviction down to a
crumb. It was literally a crumb in a bag, and I could not believe that they wasted their doing all of that to take me down to the station on that over something that small. And they did it because they came for dope, and they came for the person that was not there, and they had to do something, I guess. I said, can you say something to your sergeant? There's eight people in the home. I'm the only one with a job. and they arrested me over a crumb of marijuana. And I said, you know what, the hell with the permit, the hell with trying to apply for anything, I'm just gonna just, I need a break from it. I don't wanna deal with it. So I've waited years, I've worked, good citizen, and now, like I said, I've decided to reapply. I put the court, I filled it out wrong, put the wrong check, and that's why they saying they denied. Well, that's part of why they saying they denied.
Chief, you also, you
still I got it now. Just, you probably wouldn't be here had you just said what you just listed on the application.
I know. That's the first thing in the opening I said. I checked the wrong.
And I think they even said if you apply again, it's, you know, you're going to be fine. So we just got to decide here.
Clear up for the motor vehicle incident, the appellant was transported to Booking and charged with 53A-167A interfering with a police investigation and got a bond of $2,500.
He also did admit on his application to being arrested, so.
Yeah, that's why I checked the wrong, that's why I'm feeling like it, because I checked the wrong thing.
And he put misdemeanor, I think, 10 years, but he wasn't specific with the two charges, but then the conviction.
Yeah, but let me ask, when he did that, did you call him in and ask him what that meant?
We weren't in the department.
Did anybody do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, they put that, you should probably ask him what that means. Who knows what you're going to get.
Yeah, now when they submit, it's got, you know, they have to be very specific with the charges.
Right. What's the date of this? Well over 10 years. Well, he put a little carrot with it well over 10 years ago, but I'd say it was probably exactly 10 years ago.
It just feels like a long time.
Do you remember the outcome of the case? I know you went through all this stuff. What was the outcome? You get a ticket?
I got a, am I saying that right? Is it an infraction?
No.
Oh, well,
even you said a misdemeanor. So.
Well, they was legal. It's funny because they was legalizing it in the process of me going. So before it was finalized, they legalized it.
Not only they legalized, I think they decriminalized it.
And I paid $100 and something bucks, yeah. And I never thought of it again.
So you thought the outcome of your case was $100 ticket?
Honestly, yes, I did. Because what's the worst thing can happen to me for a crumb?
Have you had any run-ins with the law since 2011?
No, not one. I work in the school system. I teach every day. I took today.
Tell us about that.
Hey, that means
something. It is important. Show us what you've done. Where do you work? How long have you worked there? What do you do?
Oh, I work at Fishburne Learning Center. I'm a therapeutic facilitator. That's a behavior specialist. I've been doing it for 16 years. This will be my 17th year. Like I said, I get back every day to the children, kindergarten through high school. So I got classrooms every day, Monday through Friday.
You still live with 8 people?
No. It's only down to me, my brother, and my grandma, which is 95, and I take care of her every day. Other people's gone, they don't help.
Other questions? Hey, sir, do you have any other, I'm assuming not, there's 2 people left. Do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement? Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Did you ask questions? Did I even give you a chance to ask questions?
No, we're all set.
Okay, all right. It's been a long day. Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement, sir?
I think I pretty much said most of what I wanted to say. I do apologize for being confused about this court stuff and the language it is and all. But I would have wrote down the number and everything else that came with it if I knew the charges, but I thought I paid the fine, so I thought that was it. And to my knowledge, the weed, I don't know, if you get caught with weed now, it's not a misdemeanor.
No, you can go to the store and buy it.
Yeah, so that's the only thing. And then another reason I was upset with the situation, like I said, it was 8 people in the home. They came downstairs with the crumb. And I guess they're saying that they found it in pants, but I told them where my license was at. So I don't really know where the crumb came from, but I'm not gonna also stand there and try to figure out where is whose is what and what is going, you know. I don't know, it was a weird situation. I'm a type of person, if I step in poop, I'm gonna clean my shoes up. If I step in somebody else's poop, I might leave the shoes there and go buy some new ones. No, seriously.
I'll have to remember that one.
I just say, one of the things I'd recommend for you is, in your teachings, I teach too at Goodwin University, but you have to understand your record, court proceedings, and what those outcomes are, because $100 ticket, you pled guilty. And that has a lasting, that's why you're here now 12, 13 years, sort of. But just take that in consideration when you deal with kids and stuff like that. They have to know what they're getting into.
I actually had the same comment. It's important to know and to tell anyone who asks you to know your history. You should know exactly what you were charged with, what happened in court, what your status is, because you can probably get a pardon for all these things.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
You know, they're so long ago, if you applied, you'd probably get them wiped off your record completely.
Yep.
Or the one.
You probably could have offered a donation to the court back then instead of paying that. But
depends on the
person. Yeah, depends on the day. So.
There is a link on our website to the Board of Pardons with that interfering, if you wanted to try to get rid of that, because it's going to be on your record. But
I'm not really out there.
Just saying.
Just
a friendly piece of information. Mm-hmm. Sergeant, closing statement?
None.
Okay. Discussion by the board? Comments? Okay. Chief Rosenzweig?
Actually, I was going to make a comment.
Oh, okay.
But then I'll vote.
Okay.
Given an accurate application is so important. The issuing authority deserves it. The board deserves it. We probably wouldn't be here had you done that. Having listened to your background, what you've done since, the length of time that has passed, the confusion around it, I'm inclined to vote for the appellant. Which is unusual. We take applications that are not complete very seriously. And sometimes there could be enough evidence to say, okay, it was probably a mistake.
Right.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm agreeing it's an unusual day, but the fact that he put there was an arrest.
And you did list an arrest.
It does back up the confusion. Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
I agree with Chief Rosenzweig. Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
Appellant.
Chair votes appellant. Thank you all.